This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roseau County Historical Society, a book written in 1973 by Arnold Grefthen contained the story I'll read today about Halloween shenanigans of the olden days. The night before had been Halloween, and it was now daylight in the morning after. Wagons and other obstacles had been pulled up to block the doors on the houses of sleeping residents during the night. Plows, buggies, grindstones, etc. decorated the roofs of the business buildings. It had been an active night for those who had participated in the pulling of Halloween pranks. The lady at the Winnoska Hotel, in going out to milk her cow that morning in the stable in back of the hotel, found her cow missing, and a large Holstein bull was occupying the stall where her cow used to be. A neighboring farmer, in doing the morning chores, found a cow where his bull used to be. Several outhouses in the neighborhood had been tipped, and many warning shots had been heard during the night. Some of the residents had been up all night armed with shotguns to catch or chase away anyone bent on mischief. The pranksters had been very clever in being able to pull off so many tricks under the very noses of the waiting watchmen. Some of these pranksters, however, had not fared so well. Many of the outhouses had been moved off the pits underneath them. Some were moved to the front, others to the back of the pits. The open pits were then camouflaged carefully to make the area around the outhouse look as natural and undisturbed as possible. These outhouse tippers, generally several in a bunch, would approach the intended victim with caution. Then, if everything looked okay, he would rush in, arm extended, and with a mighty push against the rear or front of the outhouse, over it would go. During this particular Halloween, many of the pranksters had landed in the pits. They were a sorry mess as they tried to get out, and often had to be given a reluctant hand by their companions if these outhouse pits were quite deep. I'll read more from Arnold Grefthen's books later, but with Halloween comes the beginning of winter in the near future, and I found an interesting collection of stories written by Norbert Dostal, which is in the research area at the Roseau Museum. He called it The Changing Times on the Farm Scene, 1910 to 1986. This story is called Getting Ready for Winter. A long time ago, the houses were built quite well, considering where the lumber was bought. I'm quite sure that a greater part of it was native lumber. There were many sawmills not far away, and many were equipped with planers that could make flooring, drop siding, plain boards, or shiplap. There was some awareness of insulating the houses, as I know that many were back plastered. That meant that the builder would take the time to lath the space between the studs and then apply a coat or two of plaster. It made a dead air space between the walls. A cheaper way was to apply a heavy blue paper between the studs, leaving a space between the studs, thus serving as dead air space. Many times the upstairs didn't get lathed and plastered like the downstairs. It was almost like a tent upstairs. It is verified that one could see the sky in certain spaces. At any rate, it didn't get the finishing which the downstairs received. One reason was that it was used only for sleeping. Small windows were used in those days, and still the windows were often decorated with pretty scenes as Jack Frost worked on them using the house moisture. His scenery won't be forgotten. Most of the time, enough frost formed on the panes to have some insulating value also. The outside of the house was banked with horse manure, which quickly froze. It kept the air from coming into the lower parts of the house. When it froze, it had no smell. And when it got covered with lots of snow, it was just that much more effective as an insulation for the cellar and the parts of the house that had no cellar. If there was any semblance to a basement in one part, it had nothing to do with the foundation. It was generally made of field rocks held together with lime and sand for mortar. Yes, lime was often as not bought unslaked, and the first thing that was done before using it was to slake it. Without slaking, it was sort of like soft rock, as I recall. To make mortar for plastering, it had to be slaked and some sand and maybe some animal hair added to it to make it a bit more adhesive. Most houses were plastered with lime mortar, and the stonework was done with lime mortar also. Cement was available when I was a kid, but it seemed that it was only used where a heavy load would be put on it. In the cellar, field rocks were brought in and mortared together. Many cellars had dirt walls. Usually, the cellar was under the kitchen and some heat filtered through the kitchen floor, and very seldom anything froze in the cellar. It was usually accessible through a hole in the floor that was neatly fitted with a floor door and below it a short stairway. What went into the cellar for winter use would vary with the cook. What went into our cellar? I'll read more about that in Norbert's family's winter preparations next week. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.